So this text that we are almost to the end of, called Manashodhanam, or purification of mind. Last week we had talked about the qualities. So the mind is constantly under the influence of the three qualities, or what we call as three gunas. And we had talked about this subject last week for a half hour. And I'll just summarize briefly what we said, and then if you wish, you can listen to the talks online, firstpower.info. Tony has been putting them. So last week we had said that sattva, rajas and tamas are the three qualities under which our mind is constantly working. When we are in a sattvic mood, we are peaceful, tranquil, we are truthful, unselfish, and we see the oneness. Sattva is the highest when one is in that mood, maybe in meditation or prayer, or reading good books, or in the company of saints, then usually we are in that sattvic mood. Rajas is the active mood, and we need some amount of rajas. We need activity to work in the world, in the business, in school, college. But the problem with rajas is that it's not only activity, but it becomes desire, it becomes passion. It becomes competitive, where I want to stamp over people and knock them down so I can succeed, I can get more and more. And it leads to anger if I don't get what I want. And so activity is good, but activity should be tempered by sattva, by purity. If my activity becomes competitive, then it's harmful to me. And it's harmful to society, because then my mind is agitated and I'm angry and I'm fighting with the world. And then the lowest, of course, is tamas, or the sleep or laziness. Some amount of tamas is okay. At the end of the day, I have done a busy schedule and I want to rest. So you tone down your mind, you bring it down and you tune it down and you say, okay, now it's time to rest. So I sit down and read a good book, or listen to some soft music, or maybe some prayer or some meditation. And then my mind is slowly, I obviously don't listen to the 11 o'clock news, which is full of violence and rapes and murder. So I tune my mind down. But there are some people who are habitually in that tamasic mood, where they are lazy, they are inactive, they don't accomplish anything. They want society to take care of them. They procrastinate. So the idea is that this is not for somebody else to say, okay, you know, my husband, I think he has too much rajas. It would be better if I should bring him to this class so he can develop sattva. It's for me. It's like a barometer, just as a driver, in the beginning, he's driving the car and he's in driver ed. And he's driving and, you know, going, his car is going from side to side, and suddenly the tire gets flat and the car is going brup, 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 brup. But he keeps on driving. He has no idea, you know, what's happening. His ideas are on the road. And then the instructor has to tell him, wait a minute, you have a flat tire. Let's get down and change it. But after he has been driving for a few years, even a little bit of air is less in the tire, or the engine is not tuned perfectly. He instantly knows that something is not okay with my car. So similarly, we have to, in the beginning, we have no idea what is even mind, or that I should be observant about it. We don't even know what is tamas and what is rajas and what is sattva, and is there any meaning of that. But as we meditate, as we study, as we come to realize that I have to be watchful and I have to know. The moment my mind drops from sattva to rajas, where I become agitated and angry, or I become lazy and procrastinating and forgetful, I say, no, 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 that's not right. I have to keep my mind as much as possible in the sattvic state. Even when I'm working in the world, I can still inside be peaceful. I may be working like our Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda used to work from 3 a.m. till 12 midnight. He was working 21 hours a day, maybe sometime took a half an hour break at lunchtime in the afternoon. But his mind was always centered on the Lord, always centered on the inner self. And that's how all these great saints and the people who accomplished so much, like Vivekananda and St. Francis and Mother Teresa, even when they are working in the world, their mind is centered on the higher. So it does not matter what I'm doing, whether I'm working or whether I'm teaching my children or whether I'm doing dishes or whether I'm driving or whether I am in the business world or giving talks. But if my mind is agitated, then I'm in Rajas. And my mind has to be peaceful. So last week we had talked about attitude, and I already covered the attitude. What is the vision of this person? He sees the oneness. The Rajasic person sees differences. Okay, he is my friend, he is my enemy, I love this person, I hate this. And the Tamasic, the lowest one, he just looks at his own little world and he thinks that the whole world is wrong, and that is what breeds fanaticism. And we have talked about work also. So today the activity will cover a little bit more about work. So in Sattva, activity is optimal. The person works but does not overwork. What our idea of success is, he's a great karma yogi. He works what, 15 hours a day, 16 hours a day, and he's all the time there in the business and trying to make more money. Yeah, it is important to be successful, but when the work gives you stress, so one has to optimize one's work. Work a good amount so that you are successful, you are doing well, but do not make the work itself your goal. The work is a means for me to evolve. So through my work, I should evolve spiritually, I should become a better person, I should become closer to God, I should become closer to the totality, the oneness. So work can become unifying or work can become dividing. Or work, there are some people, as I said, who just drop out, who don't do anything. Or if they work for dishonest means. You know, drug dealers, bank robbers, you know, people who use other people for prostitution. So those are the kind of activities which are so, not only illegal, but so morally repugnant. And that is, unfortunately, the work of these tamasic people. But then they say, how can I improve my activity? How can I come from tamas to sattva? I was a useless person. I was doing nothing. And I listen to this talk and I say, I want to, from tomorrow, I want to become saintly. It's not going to happen. In fact, Swami Vivekananda used to say, it's a very famous saying. He says, if you are a tamasic person, go out and rob a bank. He said, go out and rob a bank, because that requires some thinking, some activity. So at least work. And then from that, then you can increase your act. Does not mean that he was condoning bank robbery. But the point is that you are doing nothing. At least start doing selfish activity. From nothing, start doing selfish act. For me, myself, my family. Okay, that is better than let society take. At least I go out and work. And then slowly you can evolve to sattva, to the purity, where then my activities become a service of the world, become a service of the Lord. Now people say, where do we get this information? How can I know more about it? We had mentioned last time the Bhagavad Gita, chapters 14, 17 and 18 have more information. In fact, we are doing the 18th chapter in our Wednesday study group at 8 p.m. So these religious books are like our guidebooks. And we find that anywhere in life, if you want to achieve anything, you need a guidebook. You buy, get a medicine from the drugstore and they have 16 pages of all the side effects, and you get so scared, oh my God, should I be taking? And then they call the doctor, it says I can have this, I can. I say, it's okay. You know, they write all, you go to buy a DVD player or a car or an iPhone. Oh my God, the instructions are so big in the iPhone, you can't. In fact, nowadays, everything comes with instructions. I bought a toothbrush one time. And that came with instructions. And the first instruction was, the brush is on the other side. So the scriptures are our book of instructions, which tell us what is each and how one should evolve. So we talked about activity and how we can improve our activity from laziness, become active, and then from active, become pure active. And then relationships. Now, what kind of relationships they are? Sattvic relationship, where I love somebody, and it could be anything. It could be in a family, it could be in a couple, it could be with parents and children. It could be relationships at work, in your school or college, in your church, in your country club. But when the relationships are meant for the betterment of the whole, say if I'm a member of a church, then what is good for the church? Not only what is good for me. If I'm a member of a country club, or if I'm an employee in a factory or in a business, you know, I can say, as long as I get my paycheck, I don't care what happens to the factory, what happens. No, because I work here, so I have to see that how can I work harmoniously with others and how we can all make this factory a better place, or make this church better, or make this school or college a better place. So harmonious relationships are sattvic. Rajasic is, as I said, competitive, you know, where there are two or three vice presidents and each one wants, you know, the CEO to notice him. So he'll try to sabotage the other person's work and try to backbite and try to go and show that, you know, this person, he doesn't deserve to be promoted. I am the one, you know, who needs to be made a COO. So that is called Rajasic. And the Tamasic is where you utilize other people to do illegal activities, like there is a boss. And he asks his employees, you know, to cheat on the taxes or to hide on some, you know, income or do something illegal. So one has to be always watchful that how am I at my work? How am I in my relationships with people? And as I said, even a husband and wife, they can have a very bitter relation. Like today we read about this attorney who shot his wife because they were constantly fighting. But if the relationship of husband and wife is that we are together in this life for us to spiritually evolve, the main purpose of human birth is spiritual evolution, to realize the truth. So that relationship can be a relationship of spiritual growth, can be a relationship of conflict, so that the choice is ours. And then utilization of resources. Again, you know, in the Rajasic, it is overutilized, over, just, you know, wasteful and throwing. And unfortunately, in this country, we find a lot of that. A lot of resources are just wasted. And in fact, with 2% of the population, we use 30% of the world's resources, because we waste everything. We throw everything. Everything is disposable. Everything is. So using things that are reusable, you know, grocery bags and recycling and things like that. So optimal utilization, because ultimately this earth is the only home we have. We can't go live on Mars, or we can't go live on, you know, Venus or Mercury. You know, it's too hot. It's the only place. So we have to conserve our resources. And then, of course, overutilize. And then the underutilization is, again, where the person doesn't do anything. So they say that the ideal thing, you should be living in a Goldilocks zone. This is a beautiful term I heard recently. I don't know, I'm sure all of you have told this story to your children and grandchildren, where Goldilocks goes into this house of these three bears, and the papa bears, they are all three are out, and the papa bear's chair is too hard, and the mama bear's chair is too soft, and the baby bear's chair is just optimal, so she sits there. And then Papa Bear's porridge is too hot, and Mama Bear's porridge is too cold, and Baby Bear's porridge is perfect. So she eats the Baby Bear's porridge and breaks his chair. And then, of course, the bears come back, and it's a long story. But the idea is that you should be in that Goldilocks zone, neither too hot, neither too cold, neither too hard, neither too soft, just perfect. In fact, even in astronomy and in physics, now they have this expression of Goldilocks zone, because they say that the earth is in our solar system. If it was closer to the sun, like Mercury, it would get burnt. If it was further away, like Saturn or Uranus, it would be frozen. So it's in that optimal zone. The earth is circulating neither too hot, neither too cold. And when they're looking for life on other planets, they say we need to find the Goldilocks zone, where in the stars, so they say, oh, this particular star, there is one planet that is circulating. There are 10 planets or 20 planets, but few are too hot and few are too cold. In that Goldilocks zone, maybe we can find life. So that is how one should live one's life, not too much extreme, you know, not extremely this side, extremely fast, extremely slow, but keep your mind always in balance. So that is resource utilization. Next, we come to diet. And again, in diet, it has been shown very clearly that you are what you eat. Your body is made of food that you have been eating since childhood. Not only that, but the seed that is planted in the mother is again comes from the diet eaten by the father and the mother, and that's how the child grows. So we are what we eat. And diet definitely has an impact on your mind, because the diet has two aspects. The food has the gross aspect that makes our body, and then there is a subtle aspect of the food which makes our mind. And so the quality of food that we eat definitely affects, especially if you are a spiritual seeker, want to meditate, pray, and all that, diet is extremely important. And they say one should, as far as possible, eat a sattvic diet, which even modern science is telling us these days. Diet that is fresh, that is more in, you know, vegetables, fruits, rich in antioxidants, that's not overcooked, that is not over rich, not too spicy, not too much butter and oil and cream. So what our rishis told us 8,000 years ago in the Bhagavad Gita has been borne out today by modern science. They are also saying that eat a diet that is more rich in fruits, vegetables. So that is called a sattvic diet. And diet that has been freshly cooked, not that has been put in the fridge for 3 days or in the deep freeze for 6 months, that is not sattvic. So eat diet that is fresh. Rajasic is diet that is, you know, more rich, more spicy, more sour, more pungent, more bitter, you know, the diet that will get your mind overactive. If it is too much cream and too much butter, and then, you know, you are, meat also comes either in rajas or in tamas, because meat also stimulates your mind because it is rich in fat, and it is, and some people say meat also is very old, because when you eat meat, what are you eating? You're eating a plant. See, we don't eat animals that eat other animals. We eat animals that eat plants. So the plant is eaten by the animal. The animal then makes its body and we eat it. So you're eating a plant secondhand. So why not eat the plant directly? So that is the idea. And so they say avoid foods that are extremely spicy, extremely pungent, extremely rich. You know, like the restaurant food that we get, it's so heavy. And then you feel very lazy afterwards, and if you have overeaten. So eat within reasonable, eat what you need, and don't overeat. And that also is good for health, you know, for heart disease and for diabetes and, you know, for weight and everything. So eating healthy. And then the tamasic foods are the foods that are intoxicating, like alcohol, wine, you know, which has, this is a great wine. What year is it? 2001. Oh my God, that's $1,000 or $500. That is 12-year-old grapes you are eating. You don't realize that. So, you know, so that is total tamas, you know, or cheese. Oh, this is a 6-month-old cheese. My uncle used to call it crawling cheese because it has so many bacteria that it crawls towards you. And we love that. Ah, that is beautiful. You know, aged cheese, aged cheddar. That is tamasic. So anything that has been deep frozen or, you know, kept in the fridge for a long time or fermented, you know, things that are fermented, they're all tamasic. So eat foods that are more sattvic, more pure. Now, diet does not only mean food, but also what you take in from your eyes and what you take in from your ears and from your nose and from your mouth. So the kind of movies I watch, the kind of TV shows like, you know, Sattvic movies would be movies that give you a message, you know, maybe tell you about some great person, what that person accomplished, movies that inspire you, movies that are that talk about Abraham Lincoln or John F. Kennedy or Mahatma Gandhi or you know, all these great saints. You know, there are so many movies about great saints, Indian saints, Tukaram and all. So such movies that inspire you, that take your mind higher, or even things like National Geographic, you know, where they increase your vision. You see that how people in another country live and how another culture lives. So patronize those kind of shows, watch those kind of movies, and be selective about what you put in your brain, what you eat through your eyes, because what you take in, that is going to be your thoughts. Then Rajasic movies are the violent movies, you know, where there is war and there is killing and there is murder and all the Second World War and this Korean War, or the violent and the gangs and the police and the robbers and all these crime shows. Those are all Rajas because they inflame your passions, you know. You want to kill that, you know, evil guy because he's so evil. And you're so happy, the police finally caught him. You get so involved, and that's how they sell the movie, by getting you involved. And the Tamasic are, what is that, Twilight? I don't know if you have seen those movies, Twilight, you know, which deal with the satanic and which deal with the Draculas and the vampires and talk about the lower worlds of, you know, the underworld. Those are obviously, you know, to be avoided. So the kind of music you listen to, you know, what you listen through your ears, you know, when you're driving in the car, you could be either listening to some spiritual talks or some good spiritual music or some inspirational, you know, CDs, maybe by Deepak Chopra or by Eckhart Tolle or Wayne Dyer or some, you know, some good thinkers. Or you could be listening to talk shows, you know, that is Rajasic, where there's a Republican and he's cursing at the Democrats. And then there is a liberal talk show and he's just saying everything bad about Rush Limbaugh. So that is a typical example of Rajas, where they only have one focus. And from date, I know I'm talking in a very conservative community, so I'm not taking any sides, but extremism of anything where there is conflict and where there is a desire to put the other party down and find everything wrong with theirs and everything good with mine. So one has to be watchful. And then, of course, as I said, the tamasic only breeds laziness. You know, like some of these people, when they are on, some of this music is like that. You know, that is to be only listened when you are on LSD. I remember in the 60s, you know, there was this specific music that was meant for drugs, and people were on drugs. And then they would go to these bars and people would be all on drugs and there would be this strange music. So one has to be very cautious, you know, what kind of diet I'm taking through my eyes, through my ears, through my mouth, and what kind of contacts, what kind of relationships, what kind of people am I associating with? Am I associating with people who are uplifting or people who get me angry and people who get me stimulated? You know, let us all get together and kill those guys, you know, and let's gather our guns. So, or am I associating with people who are in the lower activity? So one has to be very careful about the kind of associations one makes. And the last is, what kind of gods do they worship? You mean there are different kind of gods? Yes. The Sattvic people, the pure people, of course, worship the Supreme Lord. You can call him Jesus or Father in Heaven, or call him Allah or Buddha or Krishna, Shiva. But it is the higher Lord who is the creator of this universe, sustains it, and who has created me and given me everything I have. And so that attitude of reverence, gratitude is there. And they consider themselves a servant of the Lord. I am a simple agent. I have been placed here to do this job by the Almighty Father. And so let me do my best, but all the time remembering that I am just a simple instrument. Whatever abilities I have been given to me by the higher. And so that person has no ego, has no arrogance, has no pride, has no selfishness, has no self-aggrandizement, does not try to promote himself at the expense of everybody else. The Rajasic people, what kind of gods do they worship? They worship politicians. You know why? Because it's the senator. You know, if I know the senator, and if I need a contract, you know, I can approach him. I gave you $500 or $1,000 or $5,000 in the election. Now I, you know, my company needs a contract. So so those are the gods we worship. Or other industrialists, you know, that he is a very successful businessman. If I meet him at a party, I go and shake his hand and, you know, give him my card, hoping that maybe he'll notice. And then next time when I need a contract, then I'll say, you know, you remember John, we met at this party. So they worship people who are powerful, big industrialists or business people or politicians or leaders. So those are the gods they worship. How about the Tamasic people? They worship ghosts and goblins. Yeah, that's it. There are some people who the satanic, you know, cults where they use the evil powers of the lower, and they try to channel those powers, not so that they may put a curse on somebody, and they'll say, you know, some people will go to them, I want to put a curse on this person. He'll say, no problem, I'll make this particular curse, and this, I don't know whether it works or not, but that's what they try to do. That's how they make a living. And there are people like that all over the world. In India especially, there are a lot of people who specialize in that, in all the lower powers. Or they will say, you know, my daughter has some mental problems, so she has a curse on her. So they'll go to this guy, talisman, and he'll have all kind of smoke and in all kind of chantings. So why? To invoke the lower powers. So the idea being that I have to be constantly alert, keep myself as much as possible in the sattva. And if I find my mind slipping, I should say, why did that happen? So make a habit of watching your mind. And that's what we practice in meditation. We observe the mind. But that observation should be carried over into our life. And the more you stay in sattva, the more you evolve to the highest. And then, of course, comes the most important point. How do we go beyond sattva? This is also, sattva is also at the level of the mind. How do I go beyond my mind? We'll talk about that next week. How to go beyond the mind? Because the sattva, rajas, and tamas are all qualities of the mind. How am I to go beyond the mind to the highest? That we'll spend some time next week. That's a very important subject. So, see you next week. If there's any comments, you're most welcome. No. Sleep we need. We need to re. Yeah, if you're sleeping too much, you need a 6-7 hours of sleep to regenerate your body, because sleep is when you're in touch with the Lord. When you're in deep sleep, then your mind is very quiet. And that's why after a deep sleep, you wake up very refreshed. No, that's very good. But sleeping too much, or say I had decided to meditate, I had put my alarm for 6, and then I get up and say, it's too early, and I shut the alarm, and then, so that is tamasic. No, sleep is very important. In fact, they say, nidra samadhi sthiti, my sleep should be like a samadhi, where I should be one with the Lord. So that's why we say, before you go to bed at night, what you should do is lie down flat on your bed, and then consciously relax your body from head to toe. Then observe the breath, and then as you observe the breath, chant the Lord's name. So with each breath as it goes in and out, just chant the Lord's name, so that you fall asleep with his name, not with what the ABC News showed you at 11 o'clock. So remembering the Lord before you go to sleep, so that, oh Lord, may I stay with you. And then as soon as you wake up, the first thought, you should train your mind, get up by chanting that same mantra. So make that mantra so important part of your brain that it automatically starts playing. The first thing in the morning, Om Namah Shivaya, or you know, the name of the Father, whatever the mantra is, whatever you have chosen. So get up, do not get out of bed until you have chanted that mantra a few times. So that should be the first thought and the last thought as much as possible. And with practice, you can train your mind so that that comes almost instantly. It comes as the first thought and the last thought. And so, sleep is very important. We are not saying that you shouldn't sleep. In fact, in the Gita, it says that the yoga is not successful for one who does not sleep at all or one who sleeps too much. Suppose somebody sleeps only 3-4 hours, deprives himself or herself, and is tired throughout the day and says, I have to meditate for 2 hours. And so they become obsessed with that. Meditation is good, but if you become so obsessed that it takes away your sleep, no. Optimal amount of rest, optimal amount of sleep, optimal amount of everything, it has to be moderate. If that's what they say, don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Some people just starve their body, Fasting once in a while is good, but then some people, every week they are fasting, or 2 days a week they are not eating this and not eating that. So over indulgence in food is not good, under is not good. Over sleep is not good, under sleep. Over activity is not good. So living a life of moderation. No, sleep is not tamas. Sleep is very important. And you need that. You need to tune your mind down, to bring the vibrations of the mind down so you can rest. No, rest is very important. No, thank you. That's a very good question. Yeah. Yes, no, that's absolutely right. They're living dead, basically. That's what these ghosts and all are. If you go to watch these movies, they have these zombies walking around and they call them the living dead. So that is the same thing. They may not use that term, but you're right. They are living dead. Yeah, their life is just useless, neither to themselves nor to anybody else. Yes. They missed an opportunity. This human birth is, they wasted this. And the next time they may be born as the panda that eats and then sleeps, eats and sleeps. Panda is a beautiful animal, but if you go and see to Australia, that's all the panda does. He will eat for 2-3 hours and then sleep for 20 hours. And he'll eat leaves, like one panda can eat like 10 times his weight in leaves. And then after that, he just sleeps. Total tamasic animal. I mean, it's very cute and all. They make it a very cute animal, but it's absolute tamas. He just eats and sleeps, and that's what these people do. Is it panda or one of these, huh? Huh? He could be praying, yeah. Yeah, see, that's why a person who is meditating, some people say, this guy only sits and meditates. He's not doing anything. And people like Raman Maharishi was a great sage, and he wouldn't talk much. People came, they would just walk by him, and if they asked a question, if he felt like answering, he would answer. A lot of times his answer was in the form of a question, and he made people think. And sometimes people would be walking by and he would just sit in his silence. And one French journalist came and told him, you know so much, you are a realized master, why don't you do something? And he just laughed, because his aura was so powerful that thousands of people walked by, and just being in his presence, all their questions were answered. And they were uplifted. He didn't have to speak. He didn't have to do anything. Just by his, so you may think that this person is tamasic. He just sits in the temple all day and does nothing. But he is so much in tune with his higher self that whoever comes near him gets uplifted. And thousands of people were benefited just by being in his company, being in his presence. Of course, then he did write some books and answered some questions, but that was a very small part. He didn't. And on the other hand, our Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, who founded the mission, he was every week in a new country, in a new continent. He was in the US, and then in Asia, then in Europe, and then in Africa. So you can say, well, he was a better saint, or was this one a better saint? It depends on your mental attitude. But the idea is that they both blessed the world. And so the distinction between tamas and sattva sometimes can be very subtle. And you may not know that this person who is sitting, is he sitting in meditation or is he in a drug stupor?
I can't say to my husband what
to do. It may not work. No, but you're absolutely right. This is for myself. This barometer is for me. not to judge somebody else, not to judge the homeless person, or not to judge the neighbor, or not to judge the politicians, it is to judge myself. All the entire scriptural literature is all meant for you, not for anybody else. Right? Yeah, how, whether I am fitting to the example set by Jesus, that is the idea of reading a Bible, is not to judge others or to, you know, try to influence or forcibly convert. The idea is that I should live up to the ideals that are in the, that are personified by Jesus or personified by Moses or the Ten Commandments. So they are all for us. Everything is for us.